Stay tuned for In Our Range on the way next, brought to you by Westgate Nursing Rehabilitation and Assisted Living Center.
Good morning and welcome to In Our Range. I'm your host, Mike LeBeau. Our guest this morning needs no introduction. I'm happy to welcome back a voice that graced our airwaves for 35 years. Local artist and historian Larry Peterson joins me to discuss the history of Ramsey. With the fireworks happening last night, it seemed like a good time to take a shallow dive into the history of this community. I currently live there, and Larry was raised there. Good morning, Larry.
How you doing, guy? It's good to be back.
I'm doing okay. It's good to have you back. You're looking good.
I was across the street for 27 years. Yeah. That's where they raised me. Sometimes it wasn't raising me. I was too busy raising hell. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to do that at the same time. You know, so, but my second grade teacher lived in your house. That was the Bjork house.
Yeah, you grew up on the same block where I live right now.
She was my second grade teacher, had the patience of a saint. Believe me, I tried it out. All right, so, and, you know, then when we were talking about this, you know, that brings back all these memories. You know, Dad, I had him from Ramsey School. I met one of the Giacchinos on the bus still today, and we talked about Ramsey School and what an outstanding structure it was. I mean, it was ahead of its time for a community. The size of Ramsey, come on, you know. He had terrazzo floors. He had marble and bulk terracotta all over the, like the finest buildings up here in Ironwood, okay? It was something to be really, really proud of. And I remember so many different things in relation to sports and basketball, or in my case, lack of sports, because I wasn't very coordinated. But, you know, all the games that went on in there, all the memories, all the proms, you know. First time you actually had enough guts to approach a girl and then head back for the wall as quickly as possible. but, yeah, all those memories, you know, come from
well,
there.
Well, let's go back a little bit before your time.
All right.
We'll go back to the 1880s, right? When the Ramsey settlement began, it was shortly after Captain N.D. Moore and Richard Langford discovered an iron ore deposit, which would become the first mine in the area. It was the Colby Open Pit Mine. And that was the first one to go into production on the Gogebic Range, was the Colby Mine.
Well, right? It also wasn't long, because, I mean, they understood that now that they were sitting on a large formation and it was going to go beyond the Colby property. One way they really needed to explore was to go east, all right? So, like, if further you go west, even if you go across the Wisconsin River, the quantity of the ore begins to run out. The quality stays the same, all right? But the formation itself begins to peter out, let's say, around Pence and a little bit beyond, because you had Iron Belt. And there were isolated formations there that they had to mine out. But over here, you know, it was, you know, they had to look at the formation continuing to where Ramsey would become.
Yeah.
You know, would become. And to be honest with you, it wasn't named Ramsey from the very start. Ramsey is the name of a Scottish chemist that they named in honor, okay? But before that, it was Ironton.
Ironton, which was also another mine that was there too, an early mine.
There was a mine there, but one of the reasons why I took up that as a town, because at some of these strategic locations where you realize there's going to be a payable, viable mine, you know, it was like blood to an artery. All of a sudden, you're going to have a town growing up overnight. And that's the case with Ramsey. And Ramsey has such a buried history. There is so much there that isn't known, should be known. And it slips my mind, I want to thank Dennis Rolando, did a book on Ramsey and all those memories that were included through those old photographs. That book is a treat.
Do you remember the name of that book that Dennis Rolando wrote?
It's called Ramsey.
It's just called Ramsey?
Yeah, okay. Ramsey, the History of Ramsey. He did one on just over in Wakefield, where Connors is.
Okay.
I can't remember the name now, and I did history it's like a suburb of Wakefield, let me put it that way.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of history like that, you know, like in relation to Plymouth location, he did one on Ramsey, et cetera. So I just want to, you know, thumbs up to Dennis. You know, he really did some good history.
Yeah, so the Colby mine went in. By 1884, it had shipped 1,022 tons of ore in railroad flat cars to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then by 1890, more than 30 mines were shipping ore. There was about 83 years of mining activity on the Göbek Iron Range. Some 325 million gross tons of high-grade iron were mined on the Göbek Range.
Now, that figure comes from 50th anniversary of the Iron Daily Globe. That takes into consideration the tonnage on the Michigan side of the Montreal.
Okay.
If you're looking at the Wisconsin side, you combine them, you're getting up to 330 million tons.
Oh, wow.
Now, when you say 330 million tons, most people go, yeah. And then what you do is you work out the tonnage on a rather modern ore car, and you multiply that bear all the way up to 330 million tons. You get a train that's 47,000 miles long.
Yeah.
I think that's a contribution, don't you?
A little bit, yeah. And
yeah. And how many lives did it take getting it out of there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Countless. I mean, we talked about that a lot
where
here.
We lived, where I lived and you live, you had the Mikado, the asteroid mine.
Yeah, you're talking about the Eureka asteroid mine, which was operated by the Castile Mining Company.
They changed their names over the years because they went into different mining groups and different ownership. But like the asteroid, you know, there's still remnants of like the pulley housings down there, not far from where you live.
Yeah.
And then you got fenced off areas, just like we have over in the miners, okay, where it's good to the last drop if you go through those railroad ties, okay? So you got, when they call them capped, I always sort of think of it as questionable.
Yeah.
Because if you got a timber that's been sitting there for the last 50 years, I wouldn't go jumping around on there.
Yeah, there's some scary bottomless pits if you roam around Ramsey.
Even on the Plymouth
even around
pit,
here.
Right next to the pit, you got a shaft that we used to push rocks into. And you could hear it go and go and go. You know, when you're dealing with anywhere from 25 to 32 levels, you're talking about deep, you know?
Yeah, when we're talking about our neighborhood, we're talking about the east side of Ramsey. And then, which isn't too far from the Plymouth mine,
right?
Either there.
Plymouth pit, ultimately, yes. But the other operation, what we need to look at very quickly, is logging. The town was instrumental in relation to logging. And part of why, you know, I mean, when they got the railroad here, they realized that there was iron ore to be mined. All of a sudden, they're looking around, too, and the timber stands, you know, we're here. And it wasn't anything like what you're seeing now, okay? That's like third growth. You got pine sitting out there like 8, 9 feet in girth. So they cut this whole thing over. But, you know, you also had a plethora of logging mills, lumber mills, cutting this stuff, okay? And one of the places is where, you know, you got Mill Street in Ramsey. That's because there was a mill there. It was Weed's Mill. And they did a lot of business. But before 1891, there were just wooden trestle bridges, okay? And sometimes the these locomotives that they were coming in, either with passengers or logs or ore, every so often would do a little dance on the irregularities in the track, okay? And you end up riverborne.
Yeah.
So they got to solve this permanently and what to come up with. And I would imagine there was shared interest. I don't think just one party picked it up. Was this Keystone Bridge that is built out of Kakana limestone. 57 feet from waterline to rail, okay? Why can I remember that and I can't remember a suburb of Wakefield? Remember, I remember the location of Fink. That was another location.
Yeah.
And then you had Jimtown. That's another location. And now the one that I know, but I don't know, we'll get there. But,
that was just like you said, that was built in 1891 by the Chicago and Northwestern Railroad. Kakana limestone. You still got it, Larry. It's one of Michigan's largest and oldest stone bridges. It's beautiful. It's where they have the fireworks every year. It's a truly beautiful and unique experience. They call it the Rumble on the River now, the Ramsey fireworks.
In the entire thing. That is all kidding. Freestanding stone. And people that could do it like that were the Romans, and that's where all that physics comes in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they weren't just picking big stones and saying, you know, it's an arch. No, it's not an arch. It's rocks on top of each other. But to come up with, you know, with that whole thing of working out the keystone at the very top, and so that it would carry that load all the way across, which is like 47 feet wide, okay, that is an achievement. But we also have structures that are built the same way on a much smaller scale along, you know, the Chicago Northwestern. You know, there ought to be some kind of a survey to tie that all together. You know, like where I lived and you live now, you also look at Wakefield. You got the Nika Nika Bowl statue more towards Ramsey on top of Indian Head Hill. There's another one, Ishnawaka Bowl. I'm bringing these up for a reason. There are so many unknowns. You know,
there's so many secret treasures around here.
Aware of in relation to Ramsey that are very, very consequential. 56 million tons of ore comes out of the Plymouth open pit. 372 feet of water. That ain't a mud puddle, Jack. And all the stories that come out of that.
Yeah.
That big Bosiris steam shovel. My God, it took two lines of track to move it. It was as big as the house you're living in, if not bigger.
Hmm.
Then remember when we talked about Indian Ted and saving that engine and he went on a one-man strike? All that Ramsey history, all the characters, and there were a lot of them, believe me.
So much. Hey, maybe we come back and do a second part of this at some point, but I'd like to talk about the memorial park that's downtown where they hold the fireworks every year. You were telling me about that, and you also... have been telling me about how it was featured in a national publication, but the Memorial Park was built in 1938?
I'm sorry, you were ahead of me. The site came about, first of all, a Weeds Mill. Now, the lot that everything was later built on, because of that flat surface, the odd shape of the park bottom, that's because there were large buildings there that were in conjunction to the mill. One more thing I want to say about Weeds Mill. In 1888, on a very hot September evening, an arsonist set fire to the lumber yard. So you have 4 million board feet of lumber that went
pfft. Wow.
So you can imagine, boy, it'd be great for hot dogs and, you know, marshmallows. That's a lot of wood. Anyway, you know, that petered out like a lot of mills later on after everything was cut over. Mm-hmm. When it became the park, it was part of that CCC program, you know, and it was an ongoing item of pride, okay? Ramsey had a very strong community pride in that park. And if you look at some of the tourist publications of the time, you know, you got all these sites all over the Upper Peninsula and northern Wisconsin, and lo and behold, on one of those pages is the Memorial Park in Ramsey. If you're coming through the Upper Peninsula's western end, please come, you know, to Ramsey's Memorial Park. They did a lot of promotions, okay?
Oh, it was a beautiful park. They had the dam there with lifeguards and a swimming area. The mine shaft was right across up on the ridge there, and then the pump building and the engine building and everything for that mine right there is over there on Main Street, which that bridge right there on Main Street's pretty incredible too. It's one of the only ones of its kind that's still standing.
You know, Main Street, at least it was under consideration there. Possibly it was all brushed out. Would have been Mill Street. But then it was, you know, transferred. They brought it up, you know, that second ranking because it was too close to the mill operation.
Hmm.
You did not want to have a lot of buildings close to a mill operation because the damn things are burning down every 15 minutes. Kimball must have had at least 5.
Hmm.
Okay, because they just start on fire. You got a spark from machinery or something like that. Take it from there, okay? But
so with that park being featured, you were telling me it was also on the cover of Life magazine.
That was the next notch, is that on Highland Avenue down there, about where Orlich is. I don't know if they're still living there or not, but on that hill that goes up Highland, okay, there was a photograph taken of that street, and that was on the cover of Life magazine in 1938. And it was depicted as being one of the most ideal mining communities in the nation.
Wow.
Okay? So, yeah, who knows that? You know, and it's like...
Not many folks. Item,
you know, it's like John Kelly. His last name is Kelly. It might be John Kelly. This guy went to Ramsey School. He was a Ramsey native for a number of years. Designer of the P-38 Lightning.
Hmm.
You know how many? Yeah, I mean, he took a lot of any aircraft, though, okay? But he also became founder of the Lockheed Skunk Works, okay? He's the one that designed the SR-71, the U-2 spy plane. I mean, really outstanding aircraft, not to mention satellites.
Well, I wish we could go on. I mean, I know most of the information I found about Ramsey when I first moved here was on travel blogs calling it a ghost town, you know?
I'll tell you another first.
Yeah, and then we'll wrap it up.
This is a traveling team. And they came over to Ramsey. I think they played on the Anvil Field. They might have played on, I'm not sure which field they played, but they're rather close together. It was a team that was on the road with the first artificially lit baseball games. And we had that on Ramsey's field. They were portable. You just put the poles in and light it up, like, you know, and then play night ball. And that was new to the game in 1939.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to be on the, you know, on the cutting edge like that, you know, with baseball, come on.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we're going to have to wrap up our whirlwind tour of the history of Ramsey. I hope everybody had a good time out there at the fireworks. The Bessemer fireworks are tonight, and then Wakefield tomorrow. We're moving through the holiday season. I hope everybody's happy out there. I want to thank Larry for coming in and joining me this morning. It's good to have you on the mics and see you get excited. And I love talking with you. Thank you, Larry.
You bet. No problem.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. My guest this morning was local artist and historian Larry Peterson. Would like to thank Larry for coming in and doing a reboot of Pages from the Past with a special little whirlwind version of Ramsey right there. Y'all have a wonderful holiday weekend. Thank you for joining us on In Our Range, and we will be back here next week.